ask you to open your Bibles this evening to the book of Malachi in chapter number 3, the last Old Testament book, the book of Malachi in chapter number 3. Let me just say this as I begin tonight. If a preacher man gets up and preaches on a specific sin, and you're not guilty of that sin, it doesn't really bother you a whole lot, right? You're like, sick them. Go get them, preacher. If, however, you are guilty, you got no reason to get mad at the preacher if he's preaching the Bible. Rather, you need to just deal with it on your own. Yeah. And so that's how I feel about this subject or any other subject in the book. You can get mad at me if you want to. I'm just a mailman. I'm just delivering the message that God has for us. We mapped out 52 Bible doctrines. I did back last year and have been teaching them systematically week by week by week. And here we are now dealing with church finances, how the work of the Lord is supported. Malachi chapter number 3, we begin reading with verse number 8, says, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And the answer is, in tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse." And just so we're all clear, that in the New Testament economy is the local church. That's Amen. The storehouse. "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." I've had several, and I mean several, questions from individual members, and just like it is a lot of times, some of those are not here to get to hear it. But I've had several questions from members in the last, well, just pretty much since I've taken over here as pastor, about how to give and what to give and whether or not it's proper to tithe or give under certain circumstances. And I want to try to address a few of those things and try to clarify a few of those things this evening. I suppose that there will always be those that would accuse the preacher and churches of only caring about money. However, many of them simply use this as an excuse to justify their disobedience to God. If anyone is really interested in learning what the Bible says about the matter of money, you don't have to go far. As a matter of fact, people who don't like the preacher preaching about money wouldn't like the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he taught on mammon a whole lot. I mean, a lot. Amen. And I think the reason for that is the Lord knows our tendency, our natural inclination to value money far more than we should. And don't get me wrong, yeah, it takes money to live. We have to have money in this world. Money's a tool, but that's what it should be treated as. And that shouldn't be treated as a refuge. It shouldn't be treated as an idol. It should be treated as a tool in the hand of God. Amen. If you have any, I think we all need to be reminded God gave it to us. If Amen. You've got any finances, be reminded that God gave you those finances. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the cattle on 1,000 hills. Amen. That farmer may jump up and say, "Well, wait a minute, I own those cattle." And the Lord said, "No, they're mine. I own all the cattle." Now, if he entrusts us, and that's what stewardship is about, if he entrusts us as stewards with a portion of things, then we are to use those things for his glory Amen. And for the good of others. And as for what is needful, and to some extent for things that are pleasurable for us in this life. Money is a tool. It needs to be treated as a tool. A quick glimpse at the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ would reveal how often he spoke about money or mammon. For our sovereign Lord knows full well how men are prone to love money. Amen. To love money. Furthermore, I am not going to stand up here and apologize for you or to you for telling you what the Bible has to say about it. Amen. It would be foolish of me to pretend that it doesn't affect me one way or another whether or not people give. Amen. All right, that'd be foolish of me to say that, but I'll go ahead and say this. I'm dependent on God to take care of me.
Amen.
That's my first. I'm dependent on God. God has ordained means, and that means is the local church is responsible to take care of their pastor. But I'm not going to apologize for saying, if I have a need, I'm not going to apologize for saying I've got a need. I don't think I should have to.
Amen.
If there's something that goes on, you know, God's Word deals with this. Why not approach it from a biblical point of view?
Amen.
If you think, and I'm just going to say this, if you think that all I care about is money, then I've done a poor job of showing you who I am and what I stand for.
Amen.
And what I believe. But you're dead wrong. All right. I will say, and let me go ahead and throw a few things to butter the bread a little bit. I'll go ahead and say that there are some of you, in fact, many of you here this evening that has given to our family privately, done things for us secretly. Gracious things, kind things have given to me. I could go down a list just from those of you that are here this evening of things that you've done in providing meals and bringing food and giving gifts, birthday gifts, pastor appreciation gifts, things like that. And that is greatly appreciated. That is the spirit, in my opinion, that generous spirit that every one of us need to foster, that we need to have one towards another and to some extent, to those who are struggling and in need. I'm incredibly grateful for those of you who faithfully give and support this church. And you read God's Word, and God's Word says, God just blesses obedience.
Amen.
God just blesses obedience. I told Miss Pat this morning, I said, I've got a crazy busy day, and I said, it'd be one thing if it was a crazy busy day and I didn't have the three messages I was planning on preaching, but the one this morning and then this one, everybody knows how much fun it is preaching on money, right? How well that's generally received. And then the message we'll have for the 7 o'clock hour, you know, three, what I call tough messages, but I hope biblical messages.
Amen.
The Lord would have us to use money and not money use us.
Amen.
I could ask you a question this evening. Do you use money to reach people, or do you use people to reach money? It's a pretty good question. If I said it rightly, do you use money to reach people, or do you use people to reach money?
Amen.
Money is just a tool. Money is not in and of itself good or bad. It is an inanimate object. It's not evil. People say money, you know, money is the root of all evil. That's not true. The love of money,
Amen.
The Bible says, is the root of all evil. Money is neither good nor bad. It's indifferent in every way. How we use it. Just think, if you would, how money can be used. It can be used to further God's kingdom. It can be used to help those who are struggling, to help spread the gospel. It can be used to help a family who's hurting. It. The money can be used, and on the other side of it, it can be used to support addiction. It can be used to every vile and wicked sin known under man. I mean, money is to be a tool. In our hands, the finances that God has entrusted to us is to be a tool that we use to further His kingdom, to do His work. He is, and how many parables does He give? I've given you this for you to use for my glory and for the good of the saints. Here's this talent. Here's this gift. Now use it. Not hoard it up. Not put it back. And don't misunderstand me. I think there needs to be a balance of wisdom and preparing for the old age and preparing for the not so golden years. I think there needs to be a balance and some wisdom involved in that. But if we're trusting in that and not trusting in God, then we're out of order.
Amen.
I don't care whether you're 25 or 95. Your confidence shouldn't be in what's sitting down at the Bank of Perry. It should be in the God sitting in heaven. That's where your confidence ought to be.
Amen.
Now, I'm not telling you not to plan ahead, and I'm not telling you not to be wise. But I think, in fact, the Bible teaches us to plan ahead. You don't go out and start building a house without counting the cost. I mean, that's part of it. But at the same time, we've got to be incredibly careful Now, we don't lay up all our treasure here on earth and not anything up in heaven.
Amen.
Would it make sense to you to say that you can use money here on earth, treasure here on earth, to earn treasure in heaven? Use that temporal money that God gives you to earn eternal reward, eternal crowns? We should think in these terms. I got to get going. More than using the time we have together this evening as a long and drawn out biblical defense that you are supposed to give, I'm going to leap from the assumption here and go from the assumption here that everybody here knows that they are supposed to tithe and give.
Amen.
We find very clearly God speaking, and you say, well, this is Old Testament. Don't you worry, I got some good old New Testament verses too. We have Old Testament instruction here where God told the children of Israel through the prophet Malachi, you've robbed me. And they said, we haven't robbed you. How have we robbed you? And the Lord replies, you've robbed me in tithes and offerings. That's how you've robbed me. And it's interesting that God's saying to them, if you'll do what's right, I'll bless you. You continue to do what's wrong and you'll have a cursing laid upon you. I don't know why people can't make that out. I'm not saying we give and to get. I don't want anybody to ever think, well, you say, preacher, if I do this, God's going to pour buckets of money on me. I'm not saying that. I am saying, though, God blesses obedience. And I tell you this, and I can tell you from experience, having a clear conscience before God is a reward in and of itself. Some of you, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. Having a clear conscience before God, knowing I've done what I'm supposed to do, that is a reward even of itself. And that's one of the blessings of obedience. I'm not interested in having everybody look over their shoulder and every count and every penny and squeezing every dime. That's not what I'm talking about. But I am talking about being able to go to bed at night and saying, I didn't rob God today. My father, he was a little direct sometimes in his preaching. He's gotten soft in his old age, but we had a box. That's what we did rather than passing a plate. We kept a box back. And he asked, he said, how would y'all feel if somebody went back there in the back and stuck their hand in that box and pulled the money out of it? Or how would you feel if we were passing this plate around and somebody came along and grabbed a big handful out of it? How would you feel about that? You say, well, that'd be incredibly inappropriate. That'd be stealing. It's no different than somebody that's not paying their tithe and an offering. They're robbing God just the same way, and they're robbing the church, and the truth is they're robbing themselves of the blessing and peace of God. Having a clear conscience, going to bed at night, and you know, being able to close my eyes and say, Lord, you've blessed me, and I've returned back a portion of that, and I feel good about it. You know, doing good feels good.
Amen.
Doing right feels right. I'm not interested in nickeling and diming people to death, but I am interested in God's children living a life that is above reproach, knowing that they have supported God's work. Now, let's go ahead. Now that I've spread the butter out on the bread, let me just scrape it right off here, okay? You may not like this, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. I thought about this. I thought hard about this. I can't think of any person in this church who shouldn't be giving a tithe or an offering.
Amen.
Now, you're here tonight, and I'm not picking on you, but I got to thinking like Chloe. She's 8. I mean, she ain't quite got a job yet, I don't guess. And I don't know what you're waiting for. Put the girl to work, you know what I'm saying? But even in that, and I'm not singling y'all out. I'm trying to teach, okay? I'm sure she receives birthday monies, gift money, Christmas money. She receives these things. Children should be taught at an early age to give a tithe and an offering. And some of you are going to say, well, wait a minute, preacher, you don't understand. I ain't worked a day in years. That don't make one bit of difference. Let me just go ahead and say a few things. We have people knocking on these doors, wanting stuff. And a lot of them just want a handout. They don't want help. They want a handout. And they want us to keep up their habits is what a lot of them want. And I know as I look around and I see some of you ladies in particular who come in once a month and you write a little check for $60 or $70 because you got your Social Security at the beginning of the month. And for some naughty head to think that I'm going to take that money that you need and give it to them so they can shoot it up their arm or snort it up their nose, they're out of their mind. I'm not going to do it. Now, I don't mind helping people that have need, and I don't mind somebody needs gas, buying them gas or paying the rent, but I'm not going to hand out money. We had somebody come by the other night wanting money. We don't give money. And I've done some things personally, but cautiously, very cautiously. I'm not telling you to be stingy or tight-fisted, but I am going to say when I see people who I know live off of budget, who are giving, I'm careful about how that's used and try to be careful about how that's used. You think about it and you tell me, is there anybody who is a member? Truth is, everybody in Perry ought to tithe. Everybody in Perry ought to tithe. But I'm going to preach to those at MHBC, Memorial Heights Baptist Church. If there are folks who are not giving anything, then they are robbing God, no matter the situation. I want somebody to tell me when it's okay. And here's where the rubber starts meeting the road, and this is where we start making some good friends, okay? Now just think. That's all I'm asking you to do. If you've worked and worked and worked for years and paid into Social Security, how many of you know that your employer paid half of that Social Security for you? You want to know how I know that? Because I pay all of mine. I'm considered self-employed as a pastor of this church. So some 14 point something percent I have to pay of my salary every year goes to Social Security. If I want to have Social Security when I get old. So that if it's there when I get old, older. And so can I not, I mean, is it wrong to say that that extra portion that your employer paid you, you ought to give a tithe and an offering off of that? You put money in a 401k, that money made money, you ought to give a tithe and an offering off of that. You're drawing disability, you should give a tithe and an offering off of that. There, I could go right down the list and see, I'm not interested in pinching pennies. That's not what I'm interested in. I'm just telling you that it means a lot. I'll just use myself. It means a whole lot to me to be able to shut my eyes at night and say, I've tried to give what is right before God and have a clear conscience. Tell me, if you can, tell me. If you've put money back in savings and that money's made money, you say, well, I tithed off of it when I earned it. Yeah, but have you tithed off what you made in earnings? And this is what I'm talking about. And I'm not trying to pinch pennies, but this idea that I don't have to give anymore is foreign to the Word of God. There is the giving of tithes. You know what the word tithe means? The word tithe means a tenth. And there is to be the giving of an offering. You can't give until you tithe. Now, won't you go down here to somebody that you're indebted to? You owe them money, and you say, I'm going to give you some money. They're going to say, you can't give me anything. Yeah, you owe me. You can't give until you pay. And you can't give an offering until you tithe. Now, did he not say, how have you robbed me at the close of verse 8? In tithes and offerings. And I'm going to get into this as we go along. Retirement plan, Social Security, whatever you want to do. Put it off, think about it, ignore it, do whatever you want to do. But in trying to give a response to some questions that have been asked of me, I'd rather be guilty of doing a little too much than one penny not enough. And that's just how I feel about it. If somebody gives you something that hasn't cost you anything, you ought to give a tithe and an offering off of it. If you're given an inheritance, you should give a tithe and an offering off of that money. Now, people, you say, wait a minute, I've got a big bunch of money coming to me through an inheritance. Yeah, give a tithe and an offering off of that money. Now, there's the book. Now, I'm not trying to be greedy, and I start talking to people, oh, preacher, you just coveting money. And I'm not either. You sit down, and I'll sit down, and we'll put the Bible right in between us, and we'll talk about it, okay? There's a right... Because I'm going to come back at it because here's another thing. I had somebody ask me here not too long ago, well, I've done this. Should I give a tithe and an offering off of it? And my answer was, you can't tithe off of that. You never made any money off of that. So I'm not interested in just trying to squeeze every penny I can. I'm interested in trying to do what's right by this book. Here's what I'm talking about. You buy a house for $100,000. You pay on that house for 25 years. And you sell, and you'll end up paying how much for that house? $120,000, $130,000, $140,000 with interest on that house. And then you turn around and sell that house. You can't give a tithe off of that money. You didn't make any money off of that. You've lost money on that. You understand? I don't care if you sell it for what. You can't give a tithe. However, if you do sell it at a profit, then you can give a tithe and an offering off of it. I'm going to say a few things, and it'll sound like maybe I'm bragging, but I'm not bragging. There's two reasons. There's two reasons why I use these examples like this, because I'm not interested in the applause of men. I'm really not. I don't want my rewards here on earth. I want them in heaven. But I think, number one, the preacher ought to practice what he preaches.
Amen.
And number two, I think it's good for the church to know that the preacher backs up what he's preaching about. And I'm not trying to brag or boast. I'm just trying to, you know, and I don't stand up and tell everything that happens. We sold the house in Tennessee. We actually made profit off of it because we did a lot of remodeling ourselves. We didn't make a whole lot of profit off of it, but we made a little bit of profit off of it. And Pat and I, we sat down and figured out what we thought the profit was on it, and we gave a tithe and an offering off of it. I'm not trying to boast or brag. I'm just trying to tell you, number one, I'm trying to practice what I preach, and number two, follow me as I follow the Lord. I'm trying to set an example to you. God has blessed our family, Pat and I, God has blessed us hand over fist. It's almost as if I do one thing, God does two more. I mean, that's just how it seems to me. Now, there have been times when I wasn't, and here's the truth, years and years ago, that I didn't give a tithe and an offering. As a matter of fact, I didn't want to hear the preacher preach about giving a tithe and an offering. I knew I was wrong, and nobody likes to be told they're wrong, do they? And you know, I had debt collectors calling me all the time when I was robbing God, and then when I started tithing, miraculously those phone calls stopped. You're saying, well, what happened? Well, the Lord began to deal with us about the difference between our wants and our needs. And he began to show me that you can live with a lot less than you think you got to have and stop robbing God in order to enjoy everything you want in this life. I don't mean to sound like I'm bragging. Let me just give you a story. And I just want to tell you how good God is. And if I can brag on how good God is for a minute, that'll be all right. While we were living in Tennessee, we went into the local Lowe's Hardware. And I don't know what overcame the manager there, but he was in like spring cleaning mode, okay? He was just, I want this place cleaned up. And I just happened to be standing there, and the store manager there at Lowe's told the assistant manager, he said, all this stuff right here was all returned items. It was like a whole row full of returned items. It just stacked across this center aisle right there. He said, I want you to put $30 on everything here and get rid of it. I said, excuse me, that vanity right there, you going to sell that for $30? He said, I want rid of it. I said, go ahead and load her up in the back of my truck. I'll take it. I got up front. This is a marble top, double sink, bathroom vanity. Somebody had special ordered it and changed their mind. They wasn't the first thing wrong with it. Claw feet, antique, you know, that distressed look on it. We got up front, that thing scanned $999.99. And I said, you better call the manager. And he come up there and he took his little badge and overrode that thing. I bought a $1,000 vanity for $30. And you know what I did with it? I put it on Craigslist and sold it. We didn't have room for it. I had intended to use the thing in our home when we did that remodel. But we ended up selling. We had a couple, a pregnant lady, her and her husband drove all the way from Knoxville, over 2 hours, to come buy that from us. Sold it for $300, $400, $500. I don't remember what it was now. I looked at that as a blessing from God, and we gave a tithe and an offering off of that, what we sold it for. Doesn't that make sense? I think when we receive things, I receive birthday monies, I give a tithe and an offering off of that. I church, and I'm not... a church writes me a check for $900 a week, we put in over $100 back in every week in a tithe and an offering. How many of y'all put back in 15 or 20% back into your job every week? They write you a check. You work down here for Georgia Power, and they write you a check, and you turn around and write them one back. How many of y'all do that?
Every month.
Every month. Yeah. Do you? Not Georgia Power. Well, you don't work for Georgia Power.
I know. I pay Georgia Power
with my. Good. Keep paying. Well, you don't write Marty Myers one, though, I don't think. Okay. Now, that's sort of, and I'm not trying to boast or brag, because that, you know, God just turns right around and gives us money. I go somewhere to preach, and they give me a little love gift for coming and preaching. I give a tithe and an offering off of that money. Pat and I talked about this a few months ago. We felt convicted about it. We upped what we give to the check every, what we give to the church every week in check. We began to think about the church paying for the power bill, water bill, things like that as income, and we said we need to be giving tithing and offering off of that.
You're right.
And we started doing that. And I'm not trying to brag. I'm just trying to tell you, I practice what I preach.
Amen, brother.
And I believe in giving, and God's been good to us. There is that giving. There's some people, I believe, that would give you the shirt off their back. They're that generous. And there's some other people, I don't believe, that'd give you the sweat off their back. They'd want to charge you for it if they thought they could make a profit off of it. But God's Word says that the Lord loves a cheerful giver.
Amen.
A cheerful giver. It ought to be a delight. How many of you delight? Woo-hoo, I'm writing that. Not Georgia Power, bless God. I know we don't delight about that. But when you're sitting down writing that check, I couldn't help but think, well, Wally went in there and got a box of those deposit slips, you know, for the church. I don't know if he needed them or what, but I couldn't help but think. I said, man, it's a timely time to go get them. Before you put your little tithe and offering in, I said, man, I bet he saw what we was going to preach on tonight. He went and go get a box of them things. But anyway.
Yeah, I'm
giving you. Giving you. Good. Amen. How many of us think about it as a delight? I get to help preach the gospel all over the world by what I put in that play. I help support Sermon Audio, which sends the gospel all over the world. I help support missionaries that preach the gospel in places I don't want to go. I help feed the hungry. I help make sure the pastor's got what he needs. That ought to be a delight of ours. God Amen. Loves a cheerful giver.
Amen.
And I got to throw this under there. You can't be a giver till you're a tither.
Amen.
You ought to be a delightful tither and a delightful giver. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. There's the tithe, which is a tenth. Give a tenth. You have questions about what that means, come see me. Some people get the wrong idea. You know, the farmer who sells all of his crop, he sells $1 million worth of product. He doesn't tithe $100,000. He has untold expenses out of that million that he has to take out. I'm not greedy, and I'm not trying to be. I hope I'm not greedy, and I'm not trying to try to teach the church to be that way. There's a balanced way to approach it. And if you have any specific questions, you come to me, and I'll try to answer them as biblically. We had a lady came to me not too long ago, and she said, I need to know, should I give a tithe and offering out of this? And I said, no. I said, you want to give an offering? That's between you and God. But you can't give a tithe on this. You can't. You can't actually pay a tithe on something that you've lost or invested money on. You just can't do it. I believe in gross, paying off your gross. I believe in tithing off your gross. I believe that and will believe it until the day I die, unless somebody can teach me differently. I have practiced it. Ain't gone hungry yet, obviously. It got quiet up in here now. All right.
Obvious.
What is that? I didn't
it's
know.
Obvious.
Oh. I got you. Thank you. There's a few other things obvious, too. There's the tithe. The Lord told those Pharisees, he said, woe unto you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. Now notice what he said. These ought ye to have done, and not left the other undone. In other words, these Pharisees were so persnickety that when they go out there to their garden and they would have rue or whatever those spices were, they would figure out how much it is there and give a tithe off of it. They give a tenth of that. And the Lord didn't condemn them for that, but rather said to them, you ought to have done that, but don't leave the other things out.
Amen.
The Lord didn't do away with the giving of the tithe in the New Testament economy. He didn't. There's some people who have certain verses they want to use to try to back it up, but they're taken out of context. Twice the Lord says, this you ought to have done and not left the other undone.
Amen.
I have a preacher friend, and I'm not saying he's wrong. I just think maybe there's a little different way to go about it, and a preacher friend of mine who will walk out there and he'll look out there in his tree and he'll try to figure out how many plums or oranges or whatever else he's got on it. And he brings a tenth of that into the church house and tries to give it away to people. I can't fault him for it. Can you fault him for it? I mean, that's fine. That's a good thing you don't have pecan trees, because he'd be out there a long time trying to count them pecans, wouldn't he? But what if you gave a little bit extra and said, here's this little bit of money to try to cover some of those things. God's blessed us with a great big garden, very fruitful garden. I'm going to give a little bit extra. To me, there's a balanced way to approach it. The thing about it is God knows your heart. Now, if you want to breathe a tithe of some fruit and stuff up in here, that's fine. I don't think anybody would get angry with you. But I think the Lord knows our heart and the intent of our heart in our giving. There is the tithe, which is a tenth. And there is an offering. The tithe means a tenth. And above that tithe, we need to give an offering. And the Bible never says how much of an offering you are to give. That's between you and God. After the tithe, and only after the tithe, when it is applicable, you need to give an offering. This amount is not determined anywhere in Holy Writ that I can find as an exact number or statistic, but it is up to that individual.
Amen.
It is up to that individual. Pay a tenth and then give a little above that as an offering. It's just practical. How else are we going to do what we do? You understand? I mean, money ain't going to fall out of the sky like manna. It just doesn't. This has been God's ordained means. I preached here several months ago now on the children of Israel giving to build the tabernacle and giving of gold and silver and precious stones to help get the tabernacle built. How else are they going to do the work of God without that?
Amen.
We have one of our ladies who came and donated a bag of jewelry to the church.
Amen.
Isn't that something?
Amen.
Because she wanted to be a part of what God's doing. Isn't that? That's the kind of spirit that I think we should foster within this body. And there needs to be an offering. This poor widow woman went in and cast her two mites, all of her living, the Lord said. And I have a pretty good idea that the Lord took notice of that when he went to the trouble of making sure it was recorded in his book.
Amen.
And I've got a pretty good idea that the Lord thought pretty highly of that woman's generosity in giving as well. How much do I give as an offering? That's between you and God. Just don't love money. Love God. That's the best thing I know. And then, to me, there's a third application of that, and that is the giving of alms. And this is something that I'll brag a little bit about. Is I think this church has been really generous in the giving of alms. Alms giving is extended to those who are in need. And it doesn't necessarily mean there's somebody who's hungry. It can be whatever specific need. And it's beyond, has nothing to do with the tithe and the offering. The almsgiving has nothing to do. It is something separate and unique. We're instructed not to do our alms before men to be seen of men. And that's why I'm hesitant to try and stand up here and sound like I'm bragging, because I'm not interested in the applause of men. I'm really not. It's better, the Bible says, let another's lips praise thee and not thine own. So, but again, you know, I think you understand the reason why I said what I did, but there needs to be the giving of alms. Yesterday afternoon, Let me just back up just a little bit. Thursday or Friday, one day I was down at Perry Hospital. I don't remember which day it was. I went down to the cafeteria to get a cup of coffee. And I ended up sitting down and having a long conversation with a lady there in the cafeteria. And one thing leads to another, and I'm witnessing to her, talking to her. And she brings up the fact that her daughter is struggling. And I said, well, as a church, we don't give money away, but we do have a food pantry in the back. And yesterday evening, this woman came out here, the daughter. I gave her my card. She called me. And yesterday evening, this woman came out here with tear-filled eyes.
Yeah.
And picked up a few bags of groceries and took them home. That's what your giving affords.
Amen.
Wanda's daughter, who came up here. This is what your giving of alms affords. And to me, like when we put up that list in the bulletin that says, here's the groceries we need for the pantry, that's almsgiving. That's not your tithe. That's not your offering. That's the giving of alms. That's above and beyond that.
Amen.
And it affords us the opportunity. You have any idea what a witness that is into the community to be able to say, we're not just loving in word, we're loving in deed. We're here to try to help people.
Amen.
And I realize that there are many outreaches out there that do good things, but we do good things mixed with the gospel. I had the opportunity last night to look that woman in the eyes and say, I don't know where you are with God, but you need to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You need a church home. I don't know what's going on in your life, but you need to do some self-examination. This, you know, there are always going to be people that take advantage of us, and that's how it is. But the giving of groceries, the giving to those in need, when we take up a special offering, that's almsgiving. Some of you have done things that blow my mind in your giving. It's amazing. It's extraordinary. Giving on special occasions, giving in secret. God keeps track of those things even when man forgets.
Amen.
We find in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and I'm just going to give this, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him.
Amen.
This is actually, if you study that out, what happens in 1 Corinthians 16 is they're taking up a love offering. They're taking up a special offering for some saints who were in need.
Amen.
And what Paul's instructing them there is really not about the tithe and offering. He's talking about the giving of alms right there.
Amen.
Giving above and beyond that which is normally given. Each of us in turn need to stop and to consider just how good God's given to us, how good God's been to us, and how much he's given us. Go ahead.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure. Hang around till February. Okay. Every February, in that February, the church, we send out an offering to all of our missionaries, a special and unique offering. The church does that here. Go ahead. If you want to do something, go ahead.
Well, I mean, always that one I gave that was helping missions.
Sure.
I've been a missionary, so
yeah.
I know how rough it is.
Yeah.
And it's just in my heart.
Amen.
You know? Feels good to give to
me. Amen, sister. Amen. Amen. It does. And
every month we give to
missions. Yeah, every month we support missions. We send out, we have 7 missionaries we support every month. We send out checks every month. How else are we going to do that if God's people don't give?
Amen.
We send out every month we support missions. And then every February of every year we take, we send out a special. I say we, I've been here one February, but anyway, it's been the practice of this church that they send out a special love gift to all the missionaries that we support. And you're right, how are we going to do this work? And when you people give, you know, I want to say this and I want to say it well. Any preacher worth his salt doesn't preach for money, just doesn't preach for money. If I sat down and showed you, here's what I spent this year to go preach, and here's what I received for doing so, I guarantee you I went in the hole. I guarantee you I went in the hole.
Right.
But I'll go again. You know, but I'll
Amen.
Go again. And missionaries are the same way.
Amen.
They're not doing that for money. I have to guard myself that I'm not overly critical of missionaries because I've never been out. That's one reason I want to get out on the field for a few days and see what these guys do. But it takes money, you know. There are some, and I'll be nice. There are some people out there in the world that just want to fleece the sheep. That's all they're interested in. A bunch of crooks. And I can name names and all that kind of stuff. But a preacher who's worth anything doesn't do it for money. But he does it because that's what God's called him to do. If you're interested, I have it in my notes, but I'm not going to take time to read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 7 through 14 teaches us that you don't muzzle the ox that treads out the corn. You with me on that analogy? You don't muzzle the ox that treads out the corn. In other words, the workman's worthy of his hire. They that have, that God, it says very plainly, that God's ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel.
Amen.
And what that really teaches us is that God's men should be, in a perfect world, God's men should be able to have all that they need physically through the spiritual work that they do in pastoring. When things are right. But, you know, we got a lot of teeny tiny churches out there that men are bivocational. That's just how it is. But anyway, if any of you have individual questions, it's right. Having a clear conscience is worth a whole lot. And being able to know I've done something to help God's work is worth a whole lot. Whether it's the youth or whether it's the missionaries or whatever it is, it's a great blessing. And you all are good givers to the best of my knowledge. To the best of my knowledge, I don't get in there and look at it. That don't mean I never will. But I just like being able to say I don't know who does what, but should the need arise, I think I have as a pastor every right to get in that book.
Amen.
And see.
Amen.
Who's doing what. So if there's something you're not doing, then do it.
Hallelujah.
Good stuff, yeah.
I'll say this.